look at the word of God this morning. Lord willing, I am starting a series on the New Testament church. But this morning I will be going to the very foundation of the church, not Acts 2:42, but prior to that, what we see. Our thoughts will be from Acts chapter 2 mostly, and a few other references that we will look together. The foundation of the church. How did the church begin? What was the events that took place just before the church was started at the first century? So mostly this morning my topic will be the gospel. And if you are a person, a young child or an older person who do not know the Savior, or you do not have the assurance that you are a saved person, I want you to listen very carefully. Once a servant of God said, the gospel encourages the saints and saves the souls. So the gospel, preaching of the gospel is always appropriate in any kind of audience, especially in terms of when we consider the New Testament church and this historic past, it all begins with the gospel. So this morning we are going to look at that together. Some things that you may already know, some things perhaps we will learn together. An introduction, just a few introduction from the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the story of the early Christianity. Book of Acts is the history of the early Christianity. It also gives us a great amount of principle that should guide us and even today for Christians of 21st century. The Lord commanded, looking back to the Old Testament, the Lord commanded Moses to build a tabernacle, and this is exactly what he told him, Exodus 25 and verse 40. We will read our passage in a minute. I have asked our brother Gerardo to come up here and read the passage, but let me give just a brief word here. The Lord said, look that you make them the tabernacle and their pattern which was showed to you or showed thee in the mountain, Exodus 25 and 40. A pattern was given to Moses, therefore that pattern has to be followed. Moses had no authority to alter the measurements, change the color, or even make any alterations. He was told, exactly what I showed you at the mount, you must build it. And we'll come to that in just a moment. My brother, brother, please come up. And I asked him to help me reading. We'll be reading 26 verses, although the whole chapter should be read. Verse 14 through verse 40. Please read it loud and clear, my brother, so everybody can hear. Follow through if you are opening the Bible, or if not, listen carefully.
Brothers mocking said, they are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judah, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And my manservant and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you, by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know him. being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. You have taken by lawless hands and crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in hate, nor will you allow your holy ones to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Man and brethren, let me speak freely to you of my patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him of the fruit of his body according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, of which we all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucify, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many others he testified and exhorted them, saying, be safe from this perverse generation.
Thank you, brother. We will be looking at some of those verses, not quite all of them. As we were looking at the introductory part of the book of Acts, God has given also in the New Testament a pattern in the book of Acts, how Christianity, the testimony effort, the missionary efforts, the world evangelism and building of Christian churches, there is a pattern which we should follow. We will look at some of the pattern that maybe in next time when I am here to speak. The book is largely limited to the ministry of two men. One is Apostle Peter, the other one, of course, is Apostle Paul, who is an apostle in a different order compared to Peter. Peter was one of the 12 that walked with the Lord, and he was one of the apostles. And Paul, as you know, he became an apostle in a very different order. Someone has said, looking at the book of Acts, it should be really called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because that's what you see throughout the book. The Holy Spirit is in full control and working through people at the times. It should be really named the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles, perhaps. The book is divided mainly into two sections. One is chapter 1 to 12 is the activities and the preachings and the work of done by Apostle Peter. There may be some overlap, but generally speaking, 1 to 12 is mostly Apostle Peter, and chapters 30 to 28, the activities of Apostle Paul. And the first seven chapters, sometimes people generally call them, those are the transitional period. Transitional from where? Transition from the Jews to the Jews and Gentiles, or transition from the old to the new. But in reality, if you read through the book, there is no transition in the heart of God. It was eternally planned and purposed in his heart what exactly will happen at the various events. Just a quick look at verse 1 of chapter 1. After the addressing of Theophilus, the writer says, all that Jesus began both to do and teach. All that Jesus began to do and teach. I wanted to look at the order of the two words that are placed in that verse. Jesus began to do and then began to teach. It is not the other way around. It is not that Jesus began to teach and then do. We see that pattern throughout the scripture. The living and doing comes first before we preach or teach, speak on behalf of God. We see in the Old Testament, Ezra was given the order to go and do certain things. What did he do? Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to make sure what does the Lord say, did say, he understood that, and to do it, after that to teach Israel. So a basic principle we can see in the scripture, before we start teaching or preaching, you make sure your life is in order, or you do what the scripture says. Well, we have the perfect example, the Lord Jesus himself. He lived a perfect, holy, spotless life, first 30 years of his life. And when the time came, he went on to preach and teach. Now we come to the passage that we looked at. The coming of the Holy Spirit is a promise from the Lord himself. He came, he filled the people, baptized with the Holy Spirit, gave them the power to go out and carry the gospel to all men everywhere. Now, if you read through the book of Acts, it is amazing to see how the Spirit of God is working through these servants of God. Amazing, wonderful result of their preaching. There is no other way of explaining this marvelous result of the apostles' preaching, because that they were endued by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is very, very important that the Spirit of God is thoroughly in control in our life as well as in our preaching. In chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, we find them given to prayer and supplication. So, power of the Holy Spirit given to prayer and supplications and preparing themselves to do the work of God. These two are unavoidable basic fundamentals in service to the Lord. The Spirit of God must be listened to, understood, and followed, and also should have a time of prayer. They went up to an upper room, we read, with the women, Mary the mother, and his brothers. I want to step aside for a moment from our theme here, make two quick comments here. Who are the audience? Of course, the disciples were there. Some godly women were there. Mary the mother was there, and also his own brothers. My two comments is this. The Mary the mother was in the room, praying, kneeling down and praying along with all other people. None of them were praying to Mary as the religion of Catholicism teaches. They were there, Mary was kneeling down along with others and praying to the Lord. That is one observation. And the second one is, who else was there? Primarily highlighted here is his brothers. Why his brothers are mentioned? They were, we read in John chapter 7 verse 5 like this, neither did his brothers believed in him. His own brothers, born to Mary after the Lord was born, none of them believed in the Lord Jesus. But so at some point along the way, they did believe, they changed their mind, they got saved. Now they are there in the group, in the prayer meeting. A practical thought crossed my mind. All of us have siblings, right? Every one of us have siblings. Maybe you don't. At least generally speaking, everyone has siblings. Have you seen problems, sibling problems in your family? Disagreements, misunderstanding, hatred sometimes, even go into the countless limit of problems among the siblings. It has in my own family, I have to admit. It is everywhere. Look at these siblings here. They did not believe the Lord before. But when the time came, they were there at the prayer meeting praying right along. The sibling relationship, that is the blood relationship, it is not hanging on a thread. A lot of times a small wind blows, it breaks and no more people won't talk to each other. That is a side point I just observed while I was going through this. All the preparation by the two, these apostles, and receiving the power of the Holy Spirit and spending time in prayer was towards the goal of reaching and preaching the gospel and establish the church. Without preaching of the gospel, without salvation, there is no church. And we read in the entire preparation part, I noted there are 6 different events that are very critical we should consider together. The Lord himself declared before he came to the earth in Hebrews 10:7, and there is another reference I didn't note down, but lo, I come to do thy will, O God. The Lord himself declared that I am coming to do the will of God. Okay, what is the will of God? The will of God is none should perish, no creation of his own, none of the people whom he created should perish. That is the will of God. So the Lord declared, I am going to come and do the will of God. That is exactly what he meant. So the coming of the Savior, which we celebrated just a few weeks ago or a month ago, it is nothing that is coincidental. It happened in the eternal plan and purpose of God. And God, the Lord himself said, lo, I come to do your will. Well, when we go to the next event, read through the book of Gospels. First, there was an incarnation of our Savior. We know the story. I will not explain much there. God became man for our redemption. And the third event is, he is moving on to Calvary. And he said many times, I came for a purpose. And he went on to Calvary. The sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus, where he gave himself as a ransom for all to put away our sins. Acts 2:23, we read like this. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and knowledge of God, you have taken by the wicked hands, have crucified and slain. This is God's hand on him. It is done by the determinate counsel and knowledge of God. People were not going there and grabbing the Lord and taking him to Calvary. It is God's eternal plan, eternal purpose, and it is determination, his counsel, his knowledge. But he allowed him to be crucified by the wicked man, and who died for our sins. So, in eternity, he said, I am coming to do the will of God. When the time came, appropriate time came, he came down and was born, incarnated as a man. And after that, he went down to the cross of Calvary and offered himself as a sacrifice with the hand of God himself. Now, the next event is the resurrection of the Savior. Chapter 2:24, if you are listening, whom again God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. The Lord Jesus Christ rose again is the highest event in the history of mankind and the very foundation of the Christian faith today. Because it says, God hath raised him up. Earlier we saw God has allowed him to be crucified. Before that, God brought him down as a man. And even prior to that, God in eternity decided that his son should come down for the salvation of mankind. It was God who raised him up. Having loosed the pains of death. because it was not possible, listen to this, that he should be beholden of it. Paul says in his writings in 1 Corinthians 15:17, you know this verse, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is vain. You are yet or still in your sins. You and I have just wasted 3 hours here this morning. If Christ is not risen, your faith is vain. You are still in your sins. Resurrected Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith. If he is not risen, the gospel has no value. There are thousands of people over the years of human history has claimed to be God. There is none who rose again except the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not become God after coming down. He was God and then he became man. All other gods is just the opposite. They became man and then they started claiming to be God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who was God, who became a man, and he died and he rose again. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as we sit here, he who is seated at the right hand of God, makes the foundation of the faith of Christian faith solid. When I was writing this or thinking through this, a song came to my mind. I talked to a brother this morning. I'm not a singer, as you already know. You probably heard this song, Rise Again, written by Dallas Holmes. I don't know whether he lives in Dallas or that's his name. Dallas Holmes wrote this. Cause I rise again, I know power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I will rise again. Death can keep me in the ground. How many of you know this? Or at least heard? Reggie, can you join me? I'm going to sing the chorus. I will lose it. But the word means more than my singing. Cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. The Lord could not be kept in the ground. He died while you were laughing. Did make it? Okay, well, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the very foundation of our faith, and he could not be held down. There is no power on earth can tie me down. That is then a fourth event that we see in the message that Peter was preaching. You see, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation of our, not only the faith, our salvation and our assurance of eternity. If he is a dead person, you have no future. You and I have no assurance of eternity in the heaven. And the next event, what we see here is the coming of the Holy Spirit passage which we read. The Spirit of God, also it is not something just happened because somebody asked for it. It is all eternally planned by God when the Spirit of God will come, how he will come, where locationally, to whom it will come, all decided and by the Lord himself in eternity. And the time came, the Spirit of God came down. For what? Indwell in the body of Christ, which he is about to establish, and also in every believer. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said in chapter John 14 and 26 that you know this verse, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. The God the Father is in action, if you noticed it. From the very beginning, from eternity, God the Father is the one doing things. He is going to send the Holy Spirit in my name. There are groups of people that believe you have to wait and pray and fast for the Holy Spirit to come. Man has no plans. Man has no involvement in the coming of the Holy Spirit. Assume there was the disciples went home. They were all sleeping. They were not in Jerusalem as they gathered together. The Holy Spirit should still come because it is eternal God's plan and purpose and date and time when he comes. Paul says in Ephesians 1:3, in whom, listen to this, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of the truth. How did you come to know the faith? How did you hear the gospel? How did you believe? After that you heard the word of truth. The word of God was preached and you trusted the gospel of your salvation was we trusted in whom also that you believed. We did not believe in a religion. We did not believe in the church. We did not believe in the apostles. We did not believe in the creed, anything of that sort. In whom the Lord Jesus Christ, a person in whom you believed, it says. And then what? In the same words, the exact moment when you put your trust in Christ, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It is God who did it, not because the disciples stood there and prayed all day long. It is God who did it. The moment you believed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit comes and sealed you and he become his. Don't believe any other heresy on this. There are many around. He empowers Christians to live powerfully and preach the gospel. Why these two things are not happening? There are two things I said. Christians are empowered by the Holy Spirit that we see throughout the book of Acts and in the life of the apostles. That should be true in the life of every one of us, including me. He is in here at this moment. He has been indwelling in your heart the day that you came to him. But where is the power? Or where is the power in action? If that power is in action in your life, then the first thing and the next thing you do is that you will preach the gospel. But you shall receive power. Chapter 1 verse 8. After that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. The Spirit of God indwells in every one of us as we speak. And there is power in him. The six events we looked at are the basis of Peter's message that day. This remains true even today. These events that God planned at eternity, that took place in first century, right in front of the eyes of the disciples and many others who were gathered, that events and the order in the that particular order itself has is the same in today in 21st century. After this truth was given, Peter is challenging the audience. I want to stand there for a moment. Therefore, verse 36, therefore I let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. When was the last time that you were pricked in your heart? Perhaps not for salvation, or perhaps about your own sinful lifestyle, or your willful disobedience of God's purposes and scriptures, even which we looked at last two times. Purposely disobeying. Have you been ever pricked in your heart about something that you should not have done? If that pricking in the heart is not there, let me repeat what I said last time. There is fundamentally something wrong. I say that again. If your heart is not pricking about something that you should be doing or something you did not do or you did something that you should not have done in your life and that pricking is not there, fundamentally something wrong. And it is time to check what? The vital signs and see how the result is. So Peter was very forcefully turning now. After revealing the truth of the gospel, He is addressing to the audience now, forcefully challenged the audience to repent of their sins and believe on the resurrected Savior for the remission of their sins. If you read those verses, Peter was not shying off. He was very forcefully talking to the Jews who were listening to him. In Acts 4:12 we read, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven given among men by which you must be saved." If you are thinking, considering, waiting for another way for salvation, you are totally mistaken. There is only one way and no other way. This is one of the messages that creates problem among other religions and people in various parts of the world. Especially when you go to India and various places, if you say Jesus Christ is the only way, that is the only way of salvation, people get in trouble. If you just go and wishy-washy preach and teach about Jesus, they have no problem. Don't tell me that is the only way. But scripture is very clear. Neither is there salvation in any other. That means zero, nothing, no religion, no brotherism, no Catholicism, no church. But the name of Jesus Christ under heaven, even among men, whereby we must be saved. The writer Luke was very, very clear and ever forceful about it. Peter once again reaffirming his audience. After challenging them, they were already pricking in their heart. Your heart can be pricked and do nothing about it. So therefore Peter provoked them. He knew by the Spirit of God in him that these people are already pricked in their heart with this truth that I am sharing it to you. He understood that, and he took that opportunity and said, then he reaffirms in verse 40, "Be saved yourselves. Be saved yourselves." I don't know very close personally many of you. Maybe perhaps you are fooled to think that you are saved, but in reality you are not. Maybe you are dipped in water. In reality you are not saved. Some servant of God called such people wet sinners because they were baptized. They were in the water. There are many wet sinners I have identified in my lifetime in places I have visited. Somehow, somewhere along the way, somebody said something, and you know, in India at least for sure this happened. When the time comes for wedding, if the girl is not baptized, the boy will not marry. The fundamental question is not there. Is he saved? Is he not the Savior? The question is he baptized? Then they will take him and dip him in the water. Yeah, next month wedding is over. Same way on the other side too. I know of a woman very well. I don't think she is saved even today. Living, but the wedding time came. She was taken to the water and baptized. So that may or may not be true for you. I'm just giving you examples here. I just want to make sure, just because you come here, because you are baptized, or just because you take part from the Lord's table, you belong to Him. We did two messages on the vital signs. Those 20 things, if it is not evident in your life, please go back and check again. See if you are truly saved. Don't lose it at the very end. That is the message that Peter spoke that day. And their hearts were pricked. If you are not saved today, this morning, listening to me, I hope the Spirit of God is pricking your heart. And I said this recently, death has no time limit. Whether you will live tomorrow or not, you have no control. But one thing you have control is what the scripture says. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time for you, if you don't know the Savior. But if you know the Savior, say hallelujah, praise the Lord. These things, that sixth event of the historic event that God himself did, I was able to believe and trust in him. I have the Spirit of God indwelling in my heart. Lord, please help me to use the power of the Holy Spirit in my life to live for you in the days to come. That should be my prayer and your prayer. And we just praised him and worshipped him and remembered him an hour ago. We thank God for the gospel and the power of the gospel. Only thing that can change this world is the power of the gospel. And my heart was really burdened when I heard the news of death of a 9-year-old child killed by his own father last week here in Frisco. I wonder why. My first thought was, I wish somebody had an opportunity to give the gospel to this man who is lost in sin in this world. If this world has to change, the political system has to change, or anything that you hope things will change, only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to change people and nations and countries around the globe. Throughout the last 2000 years ago, that has been very true even today. Wherever the gospel, power of the gospel, with the power of the Holy Spirit, when people were changed and it made a 180-degree turnaround, and there has been problems in many cases. You heard many problems even today. Let me say one matter for prayer before I close. This is about India now. Many states have declared you cannot convert from one religion to another. That has, out of 28 or 29 states, more than half has passed that. Christians of all groups got together and put a petition to the Supreme Court of India. Listen to this. This evening, which is Monday morning there, the Supreme Court is going to take that case. I want you to pray. The Lord will work in the heart of these men. Who has the power of the nation? He has no power of God's word or God's people. They can kill them. Many have been. You won't believe what happened there. I can't even publicly say the things what they did to them. But tonight, will you pray for these people? Pray that the Lord will work in the heart of these judges, that these decisions may be turned around. But the reason I mentioned that for prayer is definitely for prayer, but at the same time, these men who are seated with the power on the bench may have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ, who can change them and the nations and the authorities in the country. So please pray about that. But if you already know the Lord Jesus Christ and you have the assurance, and if you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in your heart, please don't take it lightly. Please don't take it lightly. Soon your life will be over. But you shall give an account of your life that is given to you, and the Holy Spirit of God and the power with him that comes to us have been wasted or sitting idle in your heart, grieving him with our life, and you will give an account. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power of the gospel, which changed the life of all of us in this room. Oh Father, we pray in the days to come, everyone us may live in the power of the Holy Spirit in the days to come. Wherever you place us, we pray that you may bless our hearts. Perhaps there is anyone. It is always possible, Lord. We know there is one or two here who do not know the Savior, that you may speak to their hearts. As we just now read, prick their hearts in such a way that they will come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for such, especially. Pray for the gospel that is going around the globe, which changed the hearts of people. Pray for the nation of India, especially, O Lord, have mercy on them. Many of the God's people have been tortured without almost unexplainable way, we pray for such and the families and the people who are there, and there may be a favorable decision tonight. We thank you for hearing your prayers. We give thee all the glory and praise and worship to you again. Thank you for hearing your prayers in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.